Welcome, friends, to Living the Adventure. I'm your radio host, George Runyon, and I'm so glad you have joined us as we study together God's Word. I hope you can go on this journey with me every Sunday at 6:30 here on GOD Radio 1 as we learn how to develop our relationship with the Holy Spirit, which is our devotional focus as we go into this new year, 2026. Be sure to invite a friend to listen each Sunday at 6:30 p.m. here on GOD Radio 1. Thank you to all who listen and support these broadcasts in helping defray the financial costs. Your help is very much appreciated. Please drop us a note and let us know you're listening and give us your comments on the program. You can write us at CCM, that's City Church Ministries, CCM, P.O. Box 152-388 San Diego, California 92195. Now let's pray and begin today's lesson in developing our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Father, in Jesus' name, we bow humbly before you. We recognize that we need your help to understand the Word of God. We need your empowerment to apply the Word of God in our everyday walk and our everyday life. And so we say, Holy Spirit, come today and bring forth in this broadcast, as the things that we say and talk about, the will of the Father and the will of the Son. And so it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to pick up this evening in our Living the Adventure radio broadcast, Fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to cite 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, was Paul's ending of 2 Corinthians letter. In the ending, his letter to the Corinthians, Paul includes the community of the Godhead. The grace of Jesus speaks to the one who is a gift from God. The love of God addresses the Father's heart. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit reveals how the Spirit is the part of the Godhead with whom we develop intimacy. Out of God's love, Jesus came as the Father's gift, so we might have the continued fellowship in the Holy Spirit. Many times we hear of receiving the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of the Son. It took the Son's sacrifice on Calvary to deal with our sin condition and to make a door open for God's gift of the Holy Spirit to be given to those that believe in Jesus, as the scriptures tell us. Jesus said to his disciples, "Behold, I am sending forth the promise of the Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Luke 24:49. The Holy Spirit has been the neglected part of the Godhead down through history. In the Apostles' Creed, all we find is the statement, "I believe in the Holy Spirit." Part of the message of the gospel is that Jesus came so that the true fellowship with God could be restored to all mankind. Like Adam had in the garden before he fell, before sin entered in, that fellowship with God on a daily basis. And it's through faith in Jesus as the sin bearer. That fellowship is found in the person of the Holy Spirit. Many of God's people have not been taught to nurture their relationship with the Holy Spirit. One reason is a misunderstanding of Jesus' statement in John 16:13. The King James puts it this way, "For he will not speak of himself," talking about the Holy Spirit. A better translation is, "Or he will not speak on his own initiative." Just as Jesus himself did nothing out of his own initiative, the Holy Spirit only does the Father's bidding and the bidding of the Son. That's his assignment to us. Our great need is to spend time in fellowship with the Spirit. This means that we must become familiar with his voice and learn how to follow his leading. Only fellowship with the Holy Spirit can bring us into an ever-increasing relationship with the Father and the Son. Now let's pray just before we enter into the next thought here. How much of our time and energy is spent in the natural realm, trying to develop our relationship with God? We can only know Him by the Spirit. So today, Father, we ask you and the Son to fill each one of us afresh with the Holy Spirit and begin to nurture our daily fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you for what we're going to look at here. The Spirit's purpose is to work all things after your will. 1 Corinthians 12:8-11 tells us, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. And to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as He wills." The apostle helps the Corinthian believers understand the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the individual believer within the community of the church gathering. Some have wrongly interpreted this passage as saying that the Holy Spirit gives one gift to each believer as he wills. Paul had concern because the Corinthian believers were misusing the gifts by making them personal rather than for the edifying of the body. As you carefully read 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, when believers gather together in an assembly, it would be confusing if everybody spoke in tongues or tried to prophesy all at the same time. Within the corporate body, the Holy Spirit gives to each as He wills for the edification of all. That's Paul's focus, is the edifying of the body, as he writes there to the Corinthians. In our daily walk and fellowship with the Holy Spirit, we live out our life around others who do not know God. The Holy Spirit desires to reveal the love of God through us by releasing His gifts. He chooses what He deems beneficial in helping our witness. It is possible that one might find a few particular gifts of the Spirit working regularly in their life, but all are available to the believer as the Holy Spirit leads, for the Holy Spirit's inside of us. In the corporate body, He distributes to each one individually just as He wills, but outside the gathering of the body, all His gifts are available to the believer at any given time. All we have to do is pray and ask the Holy Spirit, what does He want to do? And He'll show us as we'll have ears to hear. So, Father, I ask for the Holy Spirit to use me today, every day, as You so desire. I am Your servant and cannot effectively share Your love with others unless you empower me. Be free to release Your gifts through my life to assist me in ministering to others, to those You choose to bring across my path. That's just a suggested way to pray about the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. And now let's talk about if anyone is thirsty. John says in John 7:37, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." There are two different kinds of thirst that human beings experience: the natural thirst for water and liquid, and the spiritual thirst for God. A person can go without food for many days. The body will begin to draw from its own resources until they are depleted, and then the person begins to die of starvation. This is not true of the need for water. In a very short time, the body dehydrates from the lack of water. The body does not store water like a camel, which has a reservoir that holds water for a long periods. Jesus begins to reveal that He is their source, which can satisfy spiritual thirst. Only by coming to Jesus can one be refreshed with a supply of living water. He goes on to explain in verse 38 that the one who believes in Him will experience this living water flowing like a river from one's innermost being. The spiritual water that Jesus is referring to is not from outside source, but the source will be within the believer. Literally, this means from the person's belly or innermost being. Jesus states that this is the promise of Scripture. He is referencing Isaiah 58:11. As we read that, it says, "You will be like a watered garden and like a spring of water. Those waters do not fail." John 7:39 explains that Jesus was referring to the coming work of the Spirit in the life of those who believed. First, Jesus had to be raised from the dead, glorified, and seated next to the Father. The Spirit was manifested on the day of Pentecost, when the promised Holy Spirit came with a number of manifestations, as revealed in Acts chapter 2. Every believer needs to have their personal Pentecost. The disciples believed on Jesus, but they needed to receive the Holy Spirit as Jesus had instructed them. Have you asked to receive the Holy Spirit? Can you relate to Jesus' words that from the Spirit you have that from your innermost being will flow living water? If not, why not ask Him today to give you the Holy Spirit and the promised living water? Perhaps you have received, but you need to be filled again with the Spirit. The Bible teaches that there are many fillings that one might experience in terms of the Holy Spirit. Today, receive the Holy Spirit and let Him release the living waters from your innermost being. Why not pray right now? Father, I ask you today that Jesus would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I recognize I need to be filled daily and sometimes more than once in a period of a day. So Lord, would you fill me even now with the precious Holy Spirit? We need to go and wait for the promise of the Father. That was the instruction to the disciples. Behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. That was their instruction, wasn't to go out and preach the gospel until they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They weren't assigned to do this out of their own strength, out of their own ability, but in the power of the Spirit. They hadn't received the Spirit yet, although Jesus had breathed on them by faith and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He was looking forward to the day of Pentecost when God would pour out the Holy Spirit as He had promised the Son. Everything the Lord does, He does with purpose and in the context of His own timing. The disciples had experienced the Holy Spirit's power while Jesus was with them. Now the Lord was going to go back to the Father, taking His place at the Father's right hand as our high priest. He was about to receive the promise of the Father and give the Holy Spirit to everyone who believed on Him. The Spirit came to empower believers for the work with which God had appointed in establishing His kingdom on earth. The disciples waited for the promise. After 10 days, He fell upon them like a great blast of wind and mighty manifestations. Today, He is here with us, but we still need to wait before the Lord with expectation for the empowerment of the Spirit's presence. There is what's called the presence of God. God is present everywhere, but there's the manifested presence. And when we're witnessing to somebody, we need the manifested presence of God, the empowerment of God in that situation. When we're praying for the sick, we need the manifested presence of God, the Spirit manifesting gifts of healing to bring healing to people's lives, and so on and so forth. The disciples waited for the promise, and after 10 days, He fell upon them like a great blast of wind and mighty manifestations, as I mentioned. Today, He is here with us, but we still need to wait before the Lord with expectation for the empowerment of the Spirit's presence. Many times we read the Scriptures and assume the promises of God are automatic. This is not an accurate understanding of how God works in fulfilling His promises. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. Seeking the Lord is foundational to receiving the promises that the Spirit has to give us. Many believers depend upon others who have sought the Lord. Some depend upon their pastors to study and seek God for understanding of His Word. Some depend on the faith of others in receiving the promises of God. The Father desires that all His children would seek Him personally as believers. We should be thirsty for righteousness. It is only through our relationship with the Holy Spirit that we can receive all that the Lord has for us to fulfill His will in our lives. If you have not committed yourself to wait upon the Holy Spirit, why not begin today and throughout this week? Ask the Father for the Holy Spirit to reveal Himself in increasing ways. Expect Him to manifest His presence to you and open up your understanding to the Word of God and its application in and through your life. Father, I want to pray for each of the listeners that are here tuned in today. I pray that You would lead them to wait upon You, Lord, and be filled daily with the Holy Spirit, that they might go through life in the power of God, not in their own strength and their own energy or the energy of others, but in Your power that You supply in the Holy Spirit. I pray for each listener to have a deepening personal relationship with You through the power of Your Spirit, Father, in Jesus' precious name. And so I want to talk to us for a few moments about receiving the dove of heaven. Luke chapter 3, 21 through 22, Jesus was also baptized, and while He was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon Him in bodily form, like a dove. Jesus is the perfect man before God, and He sets the pattern for all of us. 30 years before His baptism, Jesus was born from a divine act of God through the person of the Holy Spirit, as Mary conceived in her womb. Now, 30 years later, Jesus came to John, his cousin, to be baptized in water. The Jews understood baptism as a cleansing, but Jesus was baptized in witness of His coming death, burial, and resurrection. For Jesus, it was His public testimony of His commitment to the will of His Father. The Father's response was to open heaven and to send the Holy Spirit in bodily form to anoint Jesus for His ministry. After Jesus' ascension, the Father poured out His Spirit upon those who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus' baptism was the place of Jesus coming and saying to the Father and bearing witness to the world, "I have come to die for the sins of the world." And He represented it by going into the water and being buried and coming up out of the water. And the Father opened heaven and said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And He showed His pleasure by pouring out the Holy Spirit upon Jesus and anointed Him as Messiah for His ministry on earth. And so the anointing of Jesus came at the point of His baptism, not at His birth. His birth was the entrance into humanity through a human vessel. But His baptism was the place of His anointing and receiving the Holy Spirit to accomplish all that the Father had given Him to do. And so we want to understand these things and draw close to God. Today the Holy Spirit is here with us. He is not only with each believer, but He has come to indwell each one who is trusting Christ. Have you allowed the Holy Spirit to come on you and indwell you, just as with Jesus? Every believer that has trusted Christ has been born of the Spirit. It is one thing to be born of the Spirit, entirely another to be anointed of the Spirit. Jesus was both born of the Spirit and 30 years later anointed to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. The preaching of the gospel is not something that an individual decides one day. Only the Holy Spirit has the authority to call a person to preach the gospel. But out of His coming to our life is what He wants to do. He wants every one of us to be a witness of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only the Holy Spirit can commission one to go with the good news of the kingdom. Only the Holy Spirit can convey on us the authority that produces eternal results. There are many people who, for one reason or another, try to do this work of God by their own initiation. Jesus addresses this in Matthew 7:22 and 23. when he speaks of those who went in his name but were not sent by him. He calls them lawless because they went without his authority. When the Lord calls a person, it can be years before that person is ready to fulfill the call placed upon their life. I was called to serve the Lord in 1960, but it took many years of development to come to the place where I was anointed and I was released to that call. And then through the call, God changed directions sometimes in his own purpose and will. And so when he speaks of those who went in his name, but were not sent by him, he calls them lawless. They were doing it out of their own initiation rather than his, because they went without his authority. When the Lord calls a person, it can be years before the person is ready to fulfill the call placed upon him, placed upon their life. The Holy Spirit spends the majority of the time preparing the one he has called through many trials and tribulations. He has to put to death the natural ambition that we all possess. The call of God emerges through much pain and disappointment. This can include rejection from family and close friends. When Jesus was anointed of the Holy Spirit, he had already experienced the rejection of family and friends. His brothers thought he had a demon, the Bible says. He was known as Mary's boy, in other words, illegitimate. This carried into his ministry life. Isaiah declares he was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, Isaiah 53:3. The Holy Spirit is calling many today. He has come to rest upon believers and anoint them as he did with God's only begotten Son. Jesus could stand and declare, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," Luke 4:18, because he had chosen to submit to his Father's desire as he lived in a human life. Only a few are willing to go through the disciplines it will require. God is looking for a human life, and only a few are willing to go through the disciplines it will require. God is looking for willing sons and daughters who will say, "Here I am, send me," as Isaiah said. Inquire of the Lord what he might say to you regarding his call and anointing on your life. Will you be part of that few? In other words, in our daily secular work, when I was working a secular job, I always prayed, "Father, what is your will for me this day? Who do you want me to talk to? Who do you want me to see?" I knew that I was being sent different directions. I was in the service business, and I'd go different ways each day. But when I would get my assignment, I would say, "Father, now show me who it is that you want me to bear witness to, who it is that you want me to pray for in this assignment that I've been given in the natural here by my bosses." And, you know, God would lead, and I saw many wonderful things happen in the lives of people as I prayed that prayer on a daily basis, asking God to take my life in the direction I was going. He knew the homes I was going to go into. He knew the people I was going to see. And I was trusting him for his power to not only perform the service that I had been trained to perform in the natural, but to be his representative in their house, in their home, when I was there servicing a product. And so we need to ask the Father to anoint us. Ask him every day to anoint you for the call he has on your life. "Father, I choose to do your will in all that I do for the rest of my life, regardless of the cost, as you supply me with grace." Now let's look at, I think we're going to stop there today because we're basically out of time. Next week we'll pick up talking about hanging with the prophets. We have some good examples in 1 Samuel chapter 10 of how the Spirit of God worked in the Old Testament. We'll pick that up next week. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity we've had to discuss your word and to talk about the work of the Spirit. I just pray that you'll help your people, speak to them during this week, bring back to their remembrance things that we're talking about here, help them in their personal life to find the leading of the Holy Spirit in everything they do and say, in their family, in their work, in their relationships, in the neighborhood, wherever they are. May the Holy Spirit use your people for your glory. And so I want to just thank you for joining us today. Again, if you would like a copy of any of my books, and this is coming out of my devotional book on the Holy Spirit, go to our website, www.sdccm.org/shop, or go down the bottom of the page, and you'll see all the order form that is there for being able to order one of the books. And the price of the book. And the price is just simply to help us sustain the broadcast and pay for the materials. There's no money making in this at all. The order form is there. Your contribution will help us with the broadcast time. Please drop us a note and let us know you're listening and give us your comments on the program. You can write us again at CCM P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, California, 92195. Now thank you again, and remember, walk with the King in the power of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.